Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. They say time changes things, and that sure is true, isn't it? Think back, perhaps 10 or 20 years ago. What was going on in your life, and how would you describe how different you were back then? Time changes leaders, for sure, and today, let's rejoin Ezra and King Artaxerxes in 458 BC to see the dramatic change 7 years of time has brought. Yesterday, we looked at Ezra chapter 4 and a very significant letter ordering the stoppage by force, if necessary, of any work being done in rebuilding Jerusalem. The letter was written by King Artaxerxes in the very early days of his reign during a time of upheaval in the Persian Empire. As the months passed, it appears King Artaxerxes was on a steep leadership learning curve. After all, Artaxerxes was the younger son of King Xerxes, so he probably never thought he'd be king, and perhaps wasn't paying too much attention to how his daddy ruled. But with the assassination of both his father and his older brother, suddenly Artaxerxes was thrust into the kingship over the huge Persian Empire, which spanned much of the known world in 465 BC. Ezra chapter 7, verse 1 picks up the story where I left you yesterday. There's a 7-year gap between Ezra chapter 4, verse 23, and Ezra chapter 7, verse 1. Apparently, during those 7 years, King Artaxerxes met a man named Ezra from Babylon. Ezra chapter 7, verse 1 to 5 describes the lineage tracing Ezra's family line all the way back to Aaron, Moses' brother. Why? It's a pedigree thing. Then, as now, family lineage can be really important and bring with it privilege, honor, responsibility, and expectations. That was especially true in Jewish families, and very much so if you could trace your lineage to one of the great heroes of Israel. The record says, "This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king granted Ezra everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was upon him." Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. Oh my! It's only one short verse, but wow, there's a lot in it. Do you see it all? First, we know the capital of the Persian kingdom was Susa, and the story of Esther had taken place in Susa, remember? Babylon was about 150 miles to the west of Susa. Babylon had been the capital of the Babylonian kingdom, and of course, we've journeyed through many great Bible stories in Babylon over the past few months. Remember Daniel and his remarkable events with kings Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Darius, recorded for us in Daniel chapter 1 through 6. Remember the prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah as the city of Jerusalem was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and the temple destroyed. Remember King Cyrus issuing a decree in 539 BC that Jews living in exile in Babylon could return and begin rebuilding Jerusalem and their temple, according to Ezra chapter 1. Remember the nearly 20-year pause in temple construction, and then the prophet Haggai's messages and the completion of the temple in 515 BC, according to Ezra chapter 6 and Haggai. This Ezra had evidently grown up in Babylon and was well known in the Jewish community there as a Torah scholar, teacher of the law of Moses, and a spiritual leader of the people. Second, somehow Ezra and King Artaxerxes had connected, even though Susa and Babylon were separated by a great distance. Clearly, King Artaxerxes gained a high respect for Ezra and was convinced of the great value for the Jewish people of restoring their great city Jerusalem to its former glory. Third, it appears King Artaxerxes was so enamored with Ezra and so convinced of the importance of Ezra going to Jerusalem to personally teach the people and oversee the rebuilding of Jerusalem that King Artaxerxes commissioned Ezra to go and granted him anything he needed for the journey and his mission. And fourth, do you see a very special phrase Ezra included in his powerful summary statement? The hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Ezra 7, verse 6. Pause for a moment and ponder that, my friends. What would lead a person to make that statement about themselves? What would be the practical evidence of the hand of Almighty God upon someone? For Ezra, he was convinced that for King Artaxerxes to commission Ezra and give him everything he needed to go to Jerusalem and encourage the rebuilding of the city, and then teach the Jews there all about the God of Israel and his laws, well, that could only be the result of God's hand at work. Why? Because only 7 years before, that same king had sent a letter stopping any and all rebuilding of Jerusalem and gave authority for the use of force, if necessary, to stop the Jews from rebuilding their city. That dramatic about-face required the work of God in the king's heart and mind. In closing today, please notice the next verse in Ezra's record. Some of the Israelites, including priests, Levites, musicians, gatekeepers, and temple servants, also came up to Jerusalem in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes. Ezra 7, verse 7. Ezra was not making this long trip to Jerusalem alone. It had been 80 years since the first wave of Jewish exiles returned to demolished Jerusalem under the edict of King Cyrus in Ezra chapter 1. Now, 3 generations later, Ezra is leading a second wave of Jews, but this wave, did you notice, are not builders. They are spiritual men and women going to stir up a spiritual revival in Jerusalem. Tomorrow we'll travel with these people and find that God does some amazing things along the way. For today, please celebrate the power of God and his ability to soften even the hardest hearts or bring light to the darkest places as he works through time to change things.